You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You're damn right it is, and we've got too many problems and zero answers right now. Carlin on 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin. By all means, hit us up there. Also on Instagram and, of course, on TikTok, That Guy Carlin. We are hitting the calls early and often over the next 2.5 hours. Rich Cimini, Jordan Ronan, to give us all the perspective we need on the Giants and the Jets. And when I tell you, I've got about 8 pounds of takes to lose over the next few hours when it comes to New York football. So let's delve into it. The Giants' problem is that you can't look anywhere with the Giants without there being a problem. And that's unfortunate. And that leads us to the conclusion that at the end of the season, this is a teardown. And I know you don't want to hear it, but it's just fact. And here's why. Let's examine all of the different issues here. The front office, enough said. Enough said. They have some nice players. But do the Giants have any great players? Maybe Leonard Williams. Maybe Kadarius Toney. Maybe Andrew Thomas. All answers still to come. Leonard Williams is probably the closest to it. Their salary cap, despite the fact that they're one of the younger teams in the NFL, is an absolute disaster. They have $3 million in cap room to work with this coming offseason. And they can't create very much more. You know why? Because they keep kicking the can down the road. You know, it wasn't all that long ago that Dave Gettleman said, we're not a team that's going to restructure contracts to make things work, until it became clear that his job was on the line, and all of a sudden, we're restructuring contracts to make things work. All of this you knew already. The quarterback, quite simply, you still don't have the answer to the question, and often by this point, that means the answer is no. So how much longer can you continue to look for the answer? Do you have to show your work? How much longer was the teacher going to let me take the test here before I have to figure out whether or not I'm going to commit to him for the long term? First part of that comes up this coming offseason. Still looking to know, is Daniel Jones the guy? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that in the least, and that's a problem. Coaching. This is, I don't want to use the word surprisingly, I would say more disappointingly, 100% the case. And I don't think Joe Judge has caught enough flack this season for what has gone on. It's been a nightmare. It's been an absolute nightmare. Judge has problems with game management. I don't care if the headsets are working or not. I got news for you. As somebody that's been around football teams, when it comes to headsets, it shouldn't be the case come week 8 that you're having problems every single week at that point. And it's not on the league either. It's on whoever your headset guys are or whatever. I don't want to hear about it in a post-game news conference. And I know that he wasn't using it as an excuse, but it came up, didn't it? It did. In reference to the timeouts, which they still don't know what they're doing. We could talk all we want about accountability. Where is there accountability here? Because when players make dumb mistakes, like, I don't know, jumping offside, like, you know, I don't know, taunting, which clearly Elijah Penny did, when you get an unsportsmanlike conduct for, you know, unnecessary roughness when you're Tay Crowder and you're the leader of the defense now because Blake Martinez is out. And that happens? You know, that's not just being aggressive and all that. That's you got to use your head. Elijah Penny, you got to use your head. You know that there is an emphasis on taunting this year. And yet, you make the mistake. I guess all those laps and those push-ups that we read about in the last two training camps, they really accomplished a lot, didn't they? Stupid mistakes. You can deal with even the unnecessary roughness, but the ones that are after the play or before the play are the ones that are remarkably undisciplined. And that tells me you're not a well-coached team. The best way I can put it is this. You had the Kansas City Chiefs, right now a wounded animal, as vulnerable as they have been in years, in a position to lose a game on Monday Night Football, and you actually could have gotten yourself back into the conversation, at least, when it comes to a potential playoff berth in the seventh spot, and you got something to push for in the second half of the year at 3-5. The Chiefs were begging you to beat them. The Chiefs were not making winning plays like they usually do. They weren't. They weren't. They were begging you to take that game, and you wouldn't take it. And you kept giving it back to them. And you're taking sacks at a point where you just know you can't be taking sacks. How does that continue to happen with Jones? I'm blown away by the fact that Daniel Jones did that. Blown away. Twice. Not once, twice. Jason Garrett isn't very good. Part of the coaching problem. Up and down. And then there's just the organization as a whole. Over the last 5 years, in the first 8 games of each year, the first half of the seasons over the last 5 years, 40 games, the Giants are 7-33. 7-33 in the first half of the seasons over the last 5 years. You know what that winning percentage is? 175. Now, I'm not a math guy, but I do know that means that in the first half of the year, over the last 5 seasons, the Giants have won exactly 17.5% of their games. Wow. Wow. So let's recap for a moment. There's no fixing it anytime soon or quickly. There is no being able to turn over and become a great competitive team all of a sudden. There is no possibility of having a coach that can make players better right now. And you have players who are decent, good. I don't know that you have a great player on the team. Maybe one or two. Maybe. Maybe. And you don't know if you have a quarterback. I get to the Jets. I got a lot to say. I got... Oh, so many things to say to you people. Jack in Manhattan will start us off tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Jack, what's up, big cat?
How are you, King Carlin?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I had an observation. Curious if you agree with, don't agree with, or whatever. Joe Judge, to me, no one is talking enough about Joe Judge is a poster child for toughness, right? Timmy Toughnuts, all that stuff.
Yeah.
My question is, what team in the NFL is, and maybe in the last 5-7 years, is winning on toughness? He's like an answer to a question that no one is asking. They're all talking about his style and he should be fired or this and that. The question of what does this guy really represent? He's trying to make the team win because they're tougher. Maybe the Rangers can win that way. Last time I checked, not too many teams in the NFL are winning because of toughness. They're winning because they're fast, agile, smart, scheming, imaginative. Look at Sean McVay. Look at Andy Reid. Look at all the offensive geniuses. It's not about 1957 toughness.
Well, it is a little bit. But I don't think it's a matter of toughness when it comes to the Giants. I think it's a matter of bad coaching and lack of execution. And
but that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, I mean, toughness is an important. Like, make no mistake. When he's talking about toughness, he's talking about guys that are playing through injuries, that understand what it means to be hurt versus being injured. He's talking about a grittiness that is necessary to play in the NFL and win in the NFL.
Like,
but it's
teams.
Not. I get what you're saying, and we're in agreement. I'm
those
just telling you what he's talking
in the
about.
NFL.
What?
But Chris, I think you'd have all of those things are kind of, to me, are kind of like table stakes in the NFL. You got to be tough. It's a violent sport.
It's a given that you have to be tough in the NFL. At least it needs to be.
Yeah, but the things that are...
But it's a buzzword. It's a buzzword. That's why you hear it. It's a buzzword.
Yeah, but it's stupid. At the end of the day, it's stupid because, yes, tough, thank you. I checked that box. You have to be tough to step on the field. Now let's talk about how teams distance themselves from other teams. They do it by offense, by scheming, by being imaginative, by having, you know, gadget plays, interesting things like speed, talent. Those are the things modern coaches are talking about, not just like, you know, these cliches of toughness.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Listen, that has nothing to do with what's going on with the Giants. Nothing to do with it. And for me, does toughness have anything to do with what's going on with how you're using your timeouts?
Yeah, once you get under 246, you really don't want to use that last timeout because the way it plays out. You know, I started calling them earlier, obviously, and then we weren't able to stop them once they got in the field goal range. So I held the last one for the later situation. In terms of how we managed the time right there, you know, getting the ball back with a little bit over a minute, you know, no timeouts, that's about what you're looking at right there. You can use before or after. There's kind of different ways of using it. We calculate about what the team time is going to be, but there's kind of certain periods within the game when you're in that kind of four-minute mode, they're trying to run the clock down, you're trying to stop and get back for a two-minute drive right there, that you want to be safe about when you do and don't call it. And a lot of it ties into, if you use that last timeout, can you force them into snapping it a second time after that before a two-minute warning?
This is the point. You want them to snap it another time before the two-minute warning. That has nothing to do with toughness when Joe's talking about that, and it's a buzzword. You know, it's the crazy stuff like that. The fact that you don't know when to use these things. And I saw it the other day. Teams want to get those timeouts in before the two-minute warning, if they can. Yeah, you'd love to save one or two, but when you only have one left, you may as well make them snap it again before the two-minute warning as opposed to running it down to 1 minute left in the game. Doug on Long Island is next on 98.7 ESPN. Douglas, how are you tonight, man?
Hey, my friend. How are you, sir? Best in the business, as I call you.
How you doing?
No bones about it. But I'm just saying, I think that we're going to have to – we're not, because we're not. We can rant and rave on the radio. We can rant and rave as fans. Let me tell you something. I know and have sat and had dinner with a few of these owners in basketball and in football, and they care because you'll come to the games. But they really don't care about your opinion. They're like, look, we pay guys to do this. They succeed or fail. We have to make changes. But – we're going to have to dissect this thing. I'm hearing everybody all day, and I've been listening. Let's just get rid of every. I'm like, relax. You can't get rid of everyone, if you know, because then when you start over again, you're at ground zero. All they're going to hear is you guys and us, because I'm a fan too. Yeah, it is going to be interesting because, you know, a guy can't lose his spot to injury. You can't take a first-round pick and have him lose his spot to injury. You need to have a game plan similar to what you've been having for a young, talented quarterback like you have that's injured. This game plan right was a lot more simplified.
Yeah,
this
look.
Was a lot more simplified.
Yeah, the problem with this, Doug, is that, and I've got a lot to say about this, but I'm extremely frustrated when I hear fans screaming and yelling and killing the GM in this situation. Well, they screwed up. They shouldn't have taken this guy. I heard that a lot today, which I couldn't get over. And I also heard, well, you know, then what did they trade for Flacco if they knew they had this? It's just the dumbest argument there is. Here's the bottom line. If Mike White is playing well this year, he plays. That's it. No rookie quarterback ever got worse by sitting in their first year. It has never happened. Not once. I'll get more into this in a few minutes. Steve in Brooklyn is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Stevie, what's up, dude?
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
The Giants have been overrated for decades, and I'm of a certain age. I remember when, it was a little bit before my time, but I remember in the early 60s or the mid 60s when the Giants became terrible. They had Allie Sherman.
None of that, and listen, respectfully, I understand that. None of that has anything to do with what's been going on over the last 10 years. You know, the Giants I heard the whole argument about the last 50 or 60 years. The Giants have won 4 Super Bowls during that stretch, and they've been to 5. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go back that far when I'm critiquing where this organization is. I'm looking at the last 10.
Can I say one thing, though?
Sure.
And that is, I think that the expertise that the Mara family supposedly has had for all of these decades, the only reason why they got those Super Bowls was that the NFL finally came in when a couple of the Maras were having an argument, and they said, we will give you George Young. And George Young is the guy who, like Gene Michael with the Yankees in baseball, helped them. Now they have nobody again. Now they're adrift.
I won't argue with that. They are adrift. The Giants absolutely are adrift, and thanks for the call. The league's not stepping in and appointing somebody for the Giants to go and hire, okay? It's a different time. You're right. The league did step in back then. That was Wellington and Tim Mara. That wasn't John Mara. You also had Jerry Reese here, who took over after Ernie Accorsi. And they both played roles in those 2 Super Bowl teams. But I'm not gonna look at the last 50 years and say the Giants have been an absolute disaster for 50 years when they've won 4 Super Bowls. 4. And been to 5. I'm not doing that. Because it's just not fair. It's completely ignoring that success and focusing on everything else. Focus on the last 10 years when you talk about being adrift, because you're adrift, you have no way to easily fix what's going on right now. No way to easily fix what's going on right now because of the situation with the roster, with the salary cap, with the way it's been assembled. All you have going for you is 2 first-round picks. And you have a coach that I just frankly don't believe in, and I don't love firing a coach after 2 years. I don't think it's a good thing. And I know the Giants don't want to do it, but you can't double down on this. At the end of the year, you have to look at this realistically. Look, the fans are frustrated, but the fans will understand that there is not an easy fix to this. There's just not. You have to be able to understand that if you're going to get this right, you're going to have to tear it down at the end of the year. Let's hit Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, what's going on, buddy?
Cat Daddy, if you ever right, you are super right today, my friend.
Thank you.
Let me tell you something. You know, admittedly, as a Jets fan, you know, I'm looking at this thing from the outside, and, you know, basically, I'm just looking forward to Thursday night, you know, because if Mr. White goes out there and plays well again and the Jets win, he's going to have to change his name from Mike White to Frank White because he's about to be the king of New York. listen, you know, and I was listening to the callers. You know, some people feel like you should have patience. A lot of people feel like you shouldn't have patience. But it's like you said, man. I mean, you know, and I feel their pain. Trust me. I know, man. I'm a Jets fan. I know. I've been there. You know, with the whole situation last night, what they did last night by losing that game and in the form and fashion that they lost it, like everybody's talking about with the penalties, the sack of Daniel Jones taking that sack. I mean, these guys all sealed their fate. Joe Judge is not coming back next year. You know that. You know he's not coming back next year. So if he's not coming back and Gettleman's not coming back, you know, there's a trickle-down effect there. I mean, Jones, he could be a good quarterback. It's not going to happen here. Sterling Shepard, injured all the time. Saquon Barkley, injured all the time. the new guys coming in here, they don't want that. For what reason would you want to inherit that? Like trying to figure out whether Jones is going to be all right or whatever. Listen, it's over. It was over last night. When they lost that game, it's over.
Look, I don't disagree. It's a problem, and thanks for the call, Buddha. You don't look at this and think that somehow this is easily fixable when it's gone on for 5 years. 7-33 in the first half of the season over the last 5 years. 7-33. How exactly does that happen? I get to the Jets in a moment. Top of the hour, Rich Samini is going to join us. 9 o'clock, Jordan Ronan is going to join us. We're going until 9:30. We got Rangers hockey then. And when it comes to the Jets, you guys need to understand one thing. Two things can be true at once.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
That would be Chris, Steve. How are you?
I'm fine.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Everybody's got to relax. Everybody's just got to relax. Two things can be true at once. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. Let's be clear when it comes to the Jets. Zach Wilson is the Jets' future at quarterback. It never hurt any young quarterback to sit for a period of time. Do me a favor. Name me more than 2 to 3 quarterbacks who were outstanding the day they entered the league, who are in the league right now. Roethlisberger was pretty good as a rookie. You know how many college games he played? 38. Justin Herbert last year, he played 43 games in college. Joe Burrow played 38 games in college. Not great. He's good. Mayfield was, you know, good his rookie year. 48 games. Russell Wilson was good out of the gate. You know how many games he played in college between North Carolina State and Wisconsin? 50. 50. Zach Wilson played 30 games in college. That's a low number. I mean, Trey Lance played in the teens, for Pete's sake, but Zach Wilson played 30 games in college. What's my point here? Not everybody is on the same timeline. And this is still an exceptionally young guy who just played, or who just turned 22 in August. So if you're going to make the judgment off of 6 games that the Jets screwed up, you're a dope and you're not entitled to an opinion. Zach Wilson needs time. Patrick Mahomes needed time. Remember, guys, he didn't play his entire rookie year except for one game at the end. Not the entire year. We want quarterbacks to be on our watch. And our watch says we want them to be great immediately. But here's the one thing we can't control. How long it takes to develop. And if you walked in the door and thought that Wilson was going to be great immediately, that was completely unfair. Not one quarterback is on the same timeline as anyone else. Is he playing well? He is not. But he's hurt right now, which leads us to point two of what can also be true. Mike White has to play as long as he is hot. Period. If Mike White is going to play like he did the other day, I'm not taking the ball out of his hands. Absolutely not. And it has nothing to do with Zach Wilson. It has to do with the much more important goal of this team, which is to win games and to get used to knowing how to do that. You know, the Jets are the youngest football team in the NFL. The youngest team in the NFL. They have to learn how to win. The other day, they caught a break, but they took advantage of it. That's part of the process of learning how to win. They were down 11 in the fourth quarter and came back and won that game. Man, that was a gutty performance. And as for Mike White, this is a 26-year-old journeyman drafted 3 years ago, and he's played 2 NFL games. Okay? this could be over any second, and we all know that. The likelihood is this was just a moment. And if that's all it turned out to be, Mike White had an unbelievable moment. Could he turn out to be the next Kurt Warner? Yeah, maybe. Highly unlikely, but maybe. And if that's the case, you know what it is? Awesome. Because then the Jets have an absolutely amazing problem to deal with. You know, maybe, just maybe, they actually had a clue that White would be okay as a backup. That doesn't mean I think it's fine that they didn't bring a veteran in. I thought that was a mistake. Someone that truly would have been there to help tutor along Zach Wilson. But the Jets never would have thought that Mike White did what he would do the other day. Nobody thought that. But at least give him a chance here to understand that he could at least be serviceable as a backup. Well, then so many of you are going to come at me and say, well, why'd they bring in Joe Flacco? How about this? To make their team better? Wilson was hurt. This improves their depth. Josh Johnson was on the practice squad. He was elevated the other day because they had to, because Flacco didn't get there till Friday. Josh Johnson's either going to get released or will end up back in the practice squad by the end of the week. And Flacco may not be happy that he's here because he signed in Philadelphia for two reasons. Number one, he's from South Jersey. That's where he lives. Number two, he wanted a chance to compete for the starting job, and he didn't really get that. Jalen Hurts has been their guy all year. So if he's got a beef, his beef is with Howie Roseman and the Eagles. It's not with the Jets. He didn't sign here, and he had a chance to sign here in the offseason. So when they went and got him, you know what it was? Smart. You can argue all you want. Nick Foles in Chicago. Why didn't they go get him? Well, if the Bears wanted a little too much, or you're dealing with that nightmare of a contract, then you're probably not giving up a whole lot for him. They didn't have a true veteran here. It wasn't ideal, but can we all agree that maybe, just maybe, they felt okay about the fact that you had a guy that they were reasonably confident in, that they felt okay about Mike White, given the fact that he's 26 and he may not have played a lot? But does Mike White strike you as a dummy? He does not. He does not. And then there's the last part of this, which came out today. And I heard some of this earlier, too. Boy, they must not have a whole lot of belief in Wilson if they're bringing in his personal quarterback coach. Yeah, no, I don't buy that for a second, and it was a smart move. Here's Robert Saleh on the decision.
Just going through discussion, you know, it was at the bye week. He went to see John, and we were just talking, and I was like, well, why not just bring him here? So we just started talking about it, and then everything, one thing leads to another, and now there's just a really good plan in terms of how to get him through the rest of the year and keep himself connected and keep everything tight. At the same time, you know, a lot of people could look at it and say, well, geez, you got a lot of guys in the quarterback room, and for us, it's more consolidating voices for him, so it's all in one building. And just the idea was to, it's really like we said, we're going to do everything we can to help this quarterback, to the quarterbacks, not just him, but the quarterbacks. And obviously, everything that we do, every decision that we make, every transaction that's made, and I mean, it is what it is. It's for the quarterback room. It's to try to make sure that room is always at its absolute best, which is no different than the rest of them. But, you know, obviously, we all agree that the quarterback can be a game changer.
Let's be clear about a couple of things, okay? It was a horrible tragedy when Greg Knapp passed away before the season. And before training camp. And he was just starting to build a relationship with Wilson. And they brought in Matt Kavanaugh to try to help. But why wouldn't you add another coach here that this guy is obviously very comfortable with for the rest of the season? You know what it is? Smart. You do everything you can to help him get acclimated to the NFL and life in the NFL, and work in conjunction with somebody that he is comfortable with. The Jets have so much invested in him. Honestly, who cares that they're bringing in John Beck for the rest of the year? the best thing a coach or an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator can do, specifically an offensive coordinator, when it comes to the quarterback, tailor your offense to the strengths of the quarterback. You know who does that with players? And you just scratch your head as to how he can continue to find guys on the scrap heap and they absolutely come in and make a difference. Bill Belichick. He doesn't look and focus on what a player cannot do, is not capable of doing. He does not force players to play to a system. He puts players in a position to be successful. He is pliable. He is malleable. He will change a defense. He will change things on his team to accentuate the positives of his players and really, really try to downplay the negatives. A very, very smart football coach once put it very succinctly to me. It's about the player, not the play. You don't jam a square peg into a round hole, as I heard so many say today, well, Wilson's not right for the system. What did I miss it in that Mike LaFleur's system that he is running, in particular, has a whole ton of Super Bowl rings? Did I miss that? Okay. Frankly, reasons like this are a reason why the Jets need to do a better job with a guy like Denzel Mims. I feel like they were trying to fit him and make him adapt to the system. And does the player have to adapt a little bit? Yes, but you got to focus on what he can do and maximize that. There's a reason why the Jets got calls on Denzel Mims today and said, no thanks, we're good. So take all of that into account, friends, okay? The Jets are, simply put, just fine. So here's how that's going to go for me on Saturday, okay? I have the Rutgers game from 3:30, let's say, until 7:30. They're playing Wisconsin, right? After that, I'm getting in the car in Piscataway and driving north to the Catskills. I'm going to put my ETA somewhere around 10 p.m. By 10:25, look for a large, bald, bearded man at the blackjack tables. Probably the $2 tables if they still have them. I don't think they do. Maybe the $10. Whatever the minimum is, I'll be there. And I will be trying to make it happen. And if you have never played blackjack before, do not sit down and say, this would be a good time to start learning the game. Because I am a bad gambler. It doesn't matter how much is on the line. It could be $3. I am a bad, angry gambler. I don't want you sitting at third base screwing everything up. Oh, I've got 12. The dealer has a 6. Let me hit that. No. You stay away from my table. Fun story. The year was 2014. The city, Detroit. Day after Christmas. Rutgers wins their bowl game against North Carolina. Bombed them. The Quick Lane Bowl. I'm staying overnight. This was after Christmas out in California, where at my in-law's house, where there was a kerfuffle that happened on Christmas Eve night between my wife, my sister, my wife, her brother, and their parents. Suffice it to say, Christmas Day, when I'm getting on a plane, see you later, I got to go to Detroit. I got to call the game tomorrow. That did not go over big, as you would imagine. Good luck with all this. But that aside, December 26th night, Detroit, Ray Lucas and myself at a blackjack table in Detroit with a couple of snot-nosed college punks from the University of Michigan, one of which kept referring to himself as a Michigan man. Well, that Michigan man almost got his ass kicked by Ray Lucas because he had absolutely no idea how to play blackjack. And it showed, to the point where the other people at the table, including the two of us with these drunken morons, started yelling out loud when he was about to hit, let's say, a 13 against a 5. No! No! Did you see that we all just stayed? Don't screw this up. Let me tell you something. I mean, when I tell you it was close, I did at one point grab the arm of my broadcast partner and say, let's not be a headline tomorrow. 800-919-3776. Listen, I want to spend a few minutes here. I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but it happens. Deal with it. I want to spend a few minutes here on these two teams because it has been such an atrocious season for everybody involved. Horrible. We know this. A combined 4-12. Wow, what a joy. It's been painful, painful to watch. So it just got me to thinking after I'm watching the Giants last night. Man, there is no question I would much rather be in the Jets' position right now than the Giants moving forward, and it's not even close. I got myself, you know, poking around today, talking to some people here and there. Then I started poking around statistics and such, and it's unbelievably clear that people around the league and the statistics and the salary cap numbers say you'd much rather be the Jets than the Giants right now. You know, the Giants are not a terribly old team. It's not like they're, you know, average age of 28. No, their average age is, you know, not that much more than the Jets. The Jets are probably the youngest team in the league and the second youngest team in the league, depending on the day. And the Giants, I think, are seventh or eighth youngest. So they're not old. But you look at the salary cap, man. The Jets this offseason coming up have $50 million in cap room already, and they can quite easily create 30 more without truly damaging themselves with a couple of the linemen they signed that, you know, they can either cut or restructure. Like Greg Van Roten would save them real money if they cut him. So there's more work to be done here that can make the Jets immediately a whole lot better. And at you look at the Giants have $3 million in cap room next year right now. And you look at how their contracts are structured. They don't have the ability to just turn around and build a ton more salary cap space. Yeah, maybe they could turn around another 10, 15 million, but that still puts them at less than 20 million in cap room to work with. Yes, the Giants have two first-round picks, but so do the Jets. And the Jets' two first-round picks, I mean, who's higher between the Seahawks and the Bears? That's going to be a dogfight. So my point is simply this. As far as the assets, the cap room, lack of questions, if people are screaming and yelling about Joe Douglas, you guys, you don't know what's going on. You don't know. I mean, just to give you a point, you can point to Denzel Mims and say, what's going on here? Very fair. You could point to Mekhi Becton, who's been hurt. Well, is this guy ever going to be healthy? Very fair. Zach Wilson, we don't know. You're not going to know in the first year unless you're Justin Herbert, who was it was 2 years older than Wilson and played more games in college. He's more ready to go. Remember, he's a guy that was projected to be the number one pick at one point. So the point is simply this. Like, you got Elijah Vera Tucker, who is already graded into the top quarter of guards around the NFL. I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, you've got really good, solid pieces here to build on moving forward. And for the Giants? I mean, all I see that is really that positive moving forward is Leonard Williams is a pretty good player, a really good player. I don't know if he's a great player yet, but he's close. I don't know if Andrew Thomas is going to be a great player. Could be. We'll see. There aren't a whole lot of others. Maybe Kadarius Toney turns into a great player. Still don't know the answer on the quarterback. I know the front office has got to change. There's a solid chance that the coaching has got to change. Questions all over the place. Nothing easily fixable, which leads you to believe it's a teardown. It's a teardown. And I hate to say it to Giant fans, I think you're probably going to have to go through what Jet fans went through the last couple of years in particular. And yes, they have consistently been in rebuild mode, both of these teams. The last guy had no idea what he was doing when it comes to the offensive line. None. Didn't get it fixed. And he brought in good players. I wouldn't say that he brought in great players, with the exception of potentially Williams. Other than that, I don't know. So my point is, if you're looking at this and you'd rather be than the Giants and the Jets, dude, you don't know football. The Giants are not in that kind of position. They've got some nice players, but they don't have a ton of cornerstones here to work with. They really don't. A lot more questions. Oh, my friends, are you in luck? Are you in luck? Because the big fellas got a little something special for you right now. This Sunday, November the 7th, I will be at Resorts World Catskills. This very moment, you have a chance to win. Well, here's the deal. Sunday, November 7th, live broadcast, Giants viewing party, Resorts World Catskills. Live broadcast begins 11 a.m. until kickoff of Giants Raiders. Five listeners will be treated to a VIP weekend, including a Saturday night casino hotel stay. Sunday, live broadcast, personal viewing party with me at Sportsbook 360 with food and beverage. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score a VIP spot. That's 888-987-ESPN. It's all from Resorts World Catskills. Bet on sports, win big live on win big on live table games, and feast on celebrity-inspired restaurants. Visit rwcatskills.com. You know, the Giants last night, it was so painful to watch because every which way you look, there's a problem. Jordan Ronan's going to join us here in just a minute. And we'll get into what happened. But my problem is primarily this, that anywhere you look with the Giants right now, you can't look without finding a problem because they're all over the map. They're all over the map. The coaching, Joe Judge, problems with game management. I don't care about the headsets. If you're going through 8 weeks and the headsets are still a problem, maybe you need to look into who's running the headsets. I'm just saying, like, why are they still doing it if that's the case? The Giants don't play disciplined football at all. It's the pre-snap penalties, and it's also the dumb penalties. Yes, there's O'Shane Zimmon as being offside. But there's also Elijah Penny with the taunting call when you know that taunting is a major focus point this year of the officials. There's the Tay Crowder unnecessary roughness call. It wasn't just being aggressive. It was ripping a guy to the ground when you didn't need to. It is Jason Garrett still not being very good. Can I ask a question that I don't know if anybody's asking? You're letting Daniel Jones run a straight option play? A straight option play? Like, that was like, you know, the wing T. As he just took the snap, ran to the right with Devontae Booker behind him, didn't pitch it, and gave the linebackers a free shot at him. Like, that's the number one thing when you're playing against the option that defenses love. And it's not many things, trust me, because cut blocking, everything involved, we could spend all day on why defenses hate playing it. But it is also a chance to hit the quarterback. They love that. And you give them a free open shot. Think about the fact that the Giants had the Chiefs as vulnerable as they've been in years in position to lose. And they couldn't get it done. They couldn't get it done. The quarterback, you still don't have the answer. Jordan and I'll have fun here in a minute because him and his bandwagon, which, you know, it seems to be like a sports car. Some weeks it looks great, some weeks it's breaking down. The quarterback, you still don't have the answer for. And often after 2.5 years, when you don't have the answer is no. I'm not saying it's definitively no, but you're still wondering. The front office, enough said. The Giants have some nice players. The Giants don't have any great players. Leonard Williams might be a great player. Kadarius Toney might be a great player. Andrew Thomas might be a great player. But we don't know. We don't know. Their salary cap is an absolute mess. It's bad, top to bottom. So, let's spend a lot of time on it with Jordan Ronan, ESPN New York, freshly back from Kansas City. Did you know that I once turned down a job in Kansas City? And I've talked about this before on the show, Jordan, because I went out there and they took me, a guy from Jersey, to two meals, a lunch and a dinner, Italian and McCormick and Schmick's in Kansas City. Yes.
Yeah, you Jordan. Know, come on. You sell Kansas City, you take them to the barbecue, right?
Yes, or even so just a great steak. Even just a great steak, I would have been fine. No, you got me going to those places.
The barbecue places in the gas station?
Yeah.
It's called Q something?
Yes. Jordan, I turned the job down on that alone because that tells me you have bad instincts.
Yeah, you also had to go through that airport. Holy cow. Whoa, what the heck is that place?
I haven't been there in a long, long time, but all I know is I saw, I think it was Ryan Dunleavy tweeting this morning that said, I can get a beer here, but I can't get a breakfast at, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you're not going to like this. So there's nothing open, right? I get there way early, so I thought I'll do some work in the airport. I'll eat breakfast. I go into the terminal. There is nothing to eat or drink in the terminal. Starbucks wasn't even open. And we're talking like close to 10 o'clock. All right?
Wow.
Literally nothing. I had to walk out of the terminal and go get something to eat to find a bagel place in Kansas City, by the way, where I ate fake eggs from out of the microwave, which...
It's called Feg.
I mean, it's awful.
F-E-G-G.
Vomit. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then I had to go back in, had to go through, TSA pre-check and do that again in order to get back into the terminal. That's the only way that I could get something to eat in the airport.
That's unbelievable.
Never seen it.
That city should burn to the ground for that. All right, maybe that's exaggerating a bit. Jordan, speaking of burning it to the ground, I have a feeling that's what we're going to be looking at the end of this year because every which way I turn, there are problems. First of all, let's talk about your quarterback and the fact that I still think the question has not been answered. And when we're 2.5 years in, I feel like there's a good chance the answer is no when that's the case.
Yeah, what is he working with right now? There was a time in the game yesterday where Daniel Jones was playing with Darius Slayton, John Ross, and Colin Johnson as his three receivers behind a bad offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
And Devontae Booker.
And Devontae Booker, I mean, who played pretty well, but let's be fair. Devontae Booker is just, he's a serviceable running back. He's not this explosive game breaker. The Giants, their offense that they're putting out on the field is a problem. They scored more than 20 points in three of their seven games. Let me tell you, go look at the top five teams in the NFL. They're averaging over 30 points a game. And by the way, the top five teams, in scoring, you name the top five you know, likely Super Bowl winners, and that those are the five teams that are averaging over 30 points. You know, like teams like Buffalo and who else? Green Bay. Who else is a Super
Bowl? I mean, we're looking at teams. You know, I mean,
Dallas
is, you know, Green Bay. You said, I mean. Tampa Bay is going to be up there. The Rams are going to be up there. The Cardinals are going to be
Rams,
up there.
The Rams, exactly. Those are the teams, all over 30 points per game.
Right.
And the Giants can't score over 20. And I'm not going to put it – look, he hasn't blown me away. But at the same time, have we gotten to the point where we're getting a realistic look at what he should be in this league when he's playing behind an offensive line? That look, they're really, really working hard to – make sure it's not a complete liability by helping and, you know, not have him go back and deep drops and throw the ball deep consistently and sit back in that pocket because they know they're not going to hold up. You see at the end of the game what happened when the Chiefs knew that the Giants were going to go back and pass that last drive. Like, it was just a free run at the quarterback almost every play. Like, they were just two or three guys getting back there. And that's with a four-man rush. So, I don't know. It's just... And I agree with you. You're not there and you're not completely sold, but at the same time, and I know it sounds like excuse making, but it's also, it is a big part of the reason is we're not getting a look at what he is because what's around him is just insufficient.
I can't argue any of that. The injuries have piled up, but I don't want to argue about the quarterback tonight. I know you're going to protect him. That's what you do. Jordan Runn on ESPN New York with us, of course.
I have something for you. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but at some point this season, hopefully I'm going to get to pull it out, and I'll make sure to send you a text when I post it, all right?
You got it. Jordan, you know, just overall, I think what's frustrating the most is I started with this tonight. I look in every direction right now, injuries aside, okay? I get it. They're piled up.
Mm-hmm.
I see a problem virtually everywhere except with how they play defense for the most part. And I thought they were impressive last night. But just overall, they don't make plays to win games. I don't think they're a very good team. I don't think they have great players. I think they've got one or two, maybe three really, really, really good players. And then and maybe Leonard Williams is going to be great. Maybe. But...
If he played with a real edge rusher, a stud edge rusher, he could be a great player.
I
do agree with that. But in the meantime, he's a really good player.
I guess my point is, I look at the coaching, I see a problem. I look at the front office, I see a problem. I look at the future, I see a problem. And this is not a terribly old team. Like, their average age is somewhere, you know, close to 26. And I'm just wondering, how do we get here and how do we get out? This is like the football version of Vietnam.
Yeah. It's a tough thing, the position that they're in, because they're in like the bad cycle, right?
Yeah.
You hire the GM and the coach, and then they're not really aligned, right? And they're not aligned together. Now, Gettleman, I just can't imagine him surviving this, right? I mean, this is year four, and four bad years, right? It's going to be four significantly losing seasons. And so then what? You know, you don't want to go through the cycle of we keep firing our coach after 2 years. But
no,
then you,
this is not what they want to do.
But because you hired a 38-year-old coach, he is learning on the job, and you're seeing he's made mistakes along the way for sure. But you want to be committed to this guy, to give him a legit chance. He hasn't had the greatest roster. So to turn it over after 2 years again is not ideal. But then you get caught in a spot of, all right, how do we align? Are we not, again, going in the circles? The Jets found themselves in this perpetually, seemingly, right?
Yep.
Where their coach and GM aren't aligned and it just creates a mess. And then you're sitting there with a quarterback who's now going into his fourth year. And, you know, that means when you get to that fourth year, the payday's coming. So, yeah, like, where are they? You know, where is this team? You know, they're not close. Which is why the whole free agency this offseason was a little mind-numbing. Yeah, did they get themselves better? Theoretically, they did. I mean, guys like Kenny Golladay are on the sideline. You don't get to see it. But then they're signing all these guys, and, like, they're signing all these guys and spending all this money to be competitive, not to be, like, a legit contender, right?
Right.
So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, what is the goal here? Is the goal just to be competitive and try to make the playoffs? Like, I think they kind of, this organization, and it starts from the top down with ownership, I think they got fooled into the fact that they think, oh, look, we made it twice as a wild card team, right, and won the Super Bowl. Like, this is, the goal should be just to get to the playoffs, and you never know what happens in the playoffs. But to me, that's a silly line of thinking, right? You know, going into the playoffs, there are certain teams that are real contenders, and like, you need to be building up. That Giants team, while we didn't look at them as this great contender, they were consistently good for the most part over several years leading up to that and in between. You know, like, it wasn't just like, all right, let's just get to be good enough to make the playoffs and then hope we can make a run. It should be like, you're building up, you're building a playoff team, you're learning along the way, like the Bills. The Bills have done it. Like, that's exactly how a team wants to do it. You draft a young quarterback. So, you know, the Giants are kind of in no man's land with a lot of money committed. And I don't know, Chris, what the path out of it is, to be quite honest. And
yeah,
until there's a new GM, because I'm assuming there's going to be a new GM, you know, you already hear rumblings about people around the league feeling like the Giants are already looking around for a new GM. So that to me, that's a pretty good sign that something's going to happen eventually. Until you have that guy and know the direction, it's hard to really think. Like, is somebody really going to want to come in here and blow it up completely? I don't know if you can even do that. I don't know if they're even in a position you could do that. So to me, you're committed to this coach. You think you see a lot of things they still like in him. I know some of the results on the field people aren't happy with. But to me, the best route is you get a GM that aligns with your coach and you try and move from there and build a team around what their vision is. And for now, at least, Daniel Jones is the guy, and for at least probably this year, I mean next year, and then get a fifth-year option after that. So like, maybe like the next year or two, you roll with Daniel Jones and you try to build around that core with the new GM and coach, and you know, address that offensive line again. GM's going to come in and have to say that it has to be priority number one.
I don't really know what's left to say at this point. So, you know, did you at least get that barbecue out there or not?
Well, you know, here's the ironic part. So I'm staying in this power and light district or whatever. So I guess it's like, yeah, a young hip district, and you go, you know,
Kansas
all
City
the action
is
on
Kansas
the weekend.
City's an underrated town. It's a good town. Don't get me wrong.
First time I've ever been there, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, but think, so it's Halloween, so I go really late on Sunday. So I don't get it there till like midnight on Sunday. So I'm like, all right, I'll go get barbecue on Monday. And first of all, it's cold and rainy, and I'm walking around, and nothing is open on Monday, apparently Monday afternoon, in the Power and Light District. So I had trouble getting like any of the good big barbecue steak spots. So I finally, after 30 minutes of walking in the rain, bumped into a spot, got a pretty good, you know, brisket sandwich and coleslaw on it. Side of mushrooms. It's pretty good.
You're looking in the wrong places.
Highlight of the trip right there.
Yeah, listen, you're not planning properly. We need to talk about this. It feels like you are the Giants of food selecting and planning. That's what it feels like.
We're going to console too, because I got Tampa coming up in 2 weeks, okay?
Yeah, that's no problem.
I need you to consult. Golf?
Yeah, not a problem.
Sunday afternoon. Golf, dinner, maybe Burns. I know Burns is a good place there.
It's hard to get into, though. It's very hard to get into. You can consult me.
Is this why I'm consulting you here?
Yes. No, if you want, I'll put the plan together for you. I'm not against that, but... You know, we'll talk it through. Well, let's talk it through.
You know people. You know
I,
people.
Yeah, I
know
don't
people.
Know anybody that's important enough to get you into Burns. Thanks,
all right.
Jordan.
All right, I'll take you. Just find a good golf spot for me.
That won't be a problem.
Then
all right,
we'll
Jordan. Thanks, bud. Talk soon.
Deal. All right,
Jordan.
Anytime.
Jordan Ronan, ESPN New York. You know, we could get into all the specifics about all the problems with the Giants right now, but like what? What good is that? Like the grand scheme is what feels like the bigger problem is in general right now. And that's, you just heard Jordan explain it, and I kind of talked myself into it. It really is the Vietnam of football teams, in that we don't know how we got here, and we certainly don't have an exit strategy for what it is. 800-919-3776. I got a couple of minutes left before we got Rangers hockey, Rangers Canucks coming up momentarily with Mr. La Greca on the call along with Mr. Maloney, and we're looking forward to that in just a few minutes. I'm hoping Don is not ticked at me, as Michael earlier today made me choose between Don, Michael, and Peter as to who I would consider my best friend. When, you know, when the primary host of the show does that, and you know that you could get excommunicated for giving the wrong answer, you know, you got to do the right thing, you know? Don, I know where our strength and our friendship lies, and it's a bond that has existed and will continue to exist for a long, long time. And it was forged in those overnight days, as he pointed out. Those are some long nights. 800-919-3776. The problem just overall with the Giants is just that it doesn't feel like there's a great answer. All right, you're going to fire the coach. All right, we're going through another two-year cycle again with a new coach and a new GM, and then we got to go through all of that. We got to get a coach. All right, we're going to keep the coach, and we're going to try to bring in a GM who he aligns with. Like, we don't have a great feeling here about what the most obvious way is to go. But to me, it feels like the most obvious way, and I know it's a painful way, and it's going to mean a couple of more years, is to blow it up. Ozzie and Dick Sells, what's up, Ozzie, my good friend? What's cooking?
Chris, thanks for taking my call, bro. First thing first, I'm not for blowing up. You know what? You hire a new GM, let him handle it. If he wants to keep Judge, so be it. If he wants to blow it up, you leave it up to the new guy. But Patrick Graham's going to be a very good coach somewhere else, probably, because you don't know what's going to happen. I'm tired of this offensive coordinator. Garrett's got to go. I'm tired of this head coach. I'm tired of the quarterback, too, man. I mean, blow it up. I'm sick and tired of this. You know what kind of fan I am. I go way back. But, Chris, I'm tired of this team. You know, he comes in here. Just one question, and I'll hang up. He comes in here as a disciplinarian, okay? This is by far, this team is so undisciplined. It's beyond being undisciplined, you know?
Yeah.
Week in, week out, they show you that.
And it's frustrating because it's the dumb penalties. Offsides, yes, but, you know, the taunting. I mean, you know there is a focus on this. And Elijah Penny gets a taunting penalty. I mean, that's just
unbelievable.
Dumb.
He's lucky to catch a ball for 15 yards, you know?
Yeah,
and he's going to taunt?
Ozzie, I mean, I guess all of those laps and all of those push-ups they were doing in training camp really didn't seem to translate, Mr. Disciplinarian.
Nope, it didn't mean anything.
Nope.
And what do we know about this coach? That he came from a Belichick regime? How many of those coaches have panned out in the past?
Exactly right, my friend, and thanks for the call. That's the biggest problem. Joe Judge, quite simply, is just another Belichick disciple that didn't translate as a head coach. And that's very clear. Very clear. Myself, I'd start it all over again. Last 5 years, first half of the season, 40 games, Giants are 7-33. Carlin, out.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.